Welcome to Souls Harbor Church, a place of grace in Wichita, Kansas. We're glad you're here. We are a full gospel church with a passion for sharing the love of Christ with the world. So if you're looking to receive a word from God, you've come to the right place. Hi there, and welcome to Souls Harbor Church. This is Brother Jim Black. I'm so glad you've decided to join us today to hear from God. We're very excited to have you listening in, but we'd also like to invite you down to see us in person. We have services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at 2601 North Meridian here in Wichita. I know a lot of people are still concerned about safety and social distancing, and I want to assure you that we're taking all necessary precautions to make sure that everyone stays safe. Right now, I invite you to sit back and enjoy a word from God with our pastor, Robert Clark.
How many loves the Lord today? I know that by the way you're in the house of the Lord today and come to church to worship God. It's so good to see you and so happy to have you in the house of the Lord today. And I want to speak to you about something the Lord laid on my heart, and I believe that it'll bless your heart. So if you'd like to turn with me into Luke, the chapter number 9, and we're going to look at a few verses there, and then we'll go. Father, in Jesus' name today, Lord, we thank you today for your presence that is here today, and God, for those that have come out to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you today for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not only, Father, here, but, Lord, forever in the presence of God. Father, we ask you today, Lord, to minister your children, meet the need they have today. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, and we'll be careful to love and thank and praise you for it. Listen very carefully this morning to the word of the Lord. And it came to pass about as and 8 days after these saying, he, being Jesus, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glittering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which was Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease. I want you to notice that, spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awakened, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Verse number 35, and there came a voice out of heaven, out of a cloud, saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. And then go, same chapter, verse number 22. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Now Jesus is telling his disciples these few words, the Son of Man himself must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. I want to talk to you for a while this morning about homebound or going home. And I want you to think about this in just a little different way before we really get in the word of the Lord. About, many, many years ago when I was about 25, I guess, and that's been more years ago than I'd like to think about, but I was pastoring a little church in Cahokia, Missouri. It was about 300 miles from my home, and we had a little church down there that was just a very small town, about 2,000, and we had a little church there. There really wasn't very much going on, but God sent me there to be there for about 18 months, one of the greatest educations spiritually that I ever received from the Lord, and enabled me to continue working for him. But during every Thanksgiving or at Christmas, why we tried to go home. We wanted to be with our family, be with my mother, my dad, my brother, my sisters, and And our loved ones and our friends, we wanted to go home. We wanted to be with them. And so we made it, tried to make it a point to go home at that particular time and to be with our friends. But as it would be, we had driven a little car. If you would look at it, you didn't know if it was coming or going. I mean, that was kind of the way that it was built, and it didn't amount to very much. And on the way home, there are many things that begin to happen. You might have a flat tire, and during that time, if you had a flat tire, now, I'm talking about, you young people don't even know what I'm talking about. Some of you older may very well. That when you had a flat tire back then, you took it off, you took the tube out, and you patched it, and you put it back in, blowed it up, and you went on down the road. And so you encountered that. And then we had four children, and we put them all in the back seat of that Studebaker, and down the road we went. We didn't get very far until somebody said, "How far is it, Dad? Are we there yet?" Yeah. That would go on for a few hours of time. And then one of the kids said, "Dad, I got to go to the bathroom." And so we encountered another situation. And we didn't have much money then, so I would buy one bottle of pop, and I'd have the kids, all kids, share it. And so I'd give it to them. And Dennis, you know, was kind of the rebel in just a little way. And so he was chewing some gum, so he dropped the gum in the bottle. And so the kids are going to kill him now because they can't have any drink of that. And so I've got all this fighting going on in the back seat. And I said, "I'm going to stop and I'm going to skin every one of you. I'm tired of this, you know." And going down the road, and because we're going home, and we encounter a lot of different things, you know, that bother us as we begin to go home. But it was always worth it to go home. Amen. It was always worth it back then. Most of my mother, my dad's gone. My brothers, my sisters are gone. Most of my friends are gone. And there isn't much to go back home to right now because they're all gone. Unless I want to go where they are. I want to talk to you about going home today, or about homebound. That Jesus was like this. Here he was just before that he went up on the mountain to pray. And he just told his disciples, he said, I'm going to suffer many things. I'm going to go through a lot of things, and I'm going to be rejected and by the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, and everybody is going to reject me. And his heart is very heavy, and he's carrying quite a load, and he felt like that he needed to go to the mountain to pray. And what he was really saying was that he needed to get some comforting words from home. He wanted to go to home and hear somebody tell him from home that everything is going to be all right. So he went up on the mountain and he began to pray, and all of a sudden appeared unto him Moses and Elijah. Now, why did these, you know, some people say, "Well, Moses never made it to heaven." Well, here he stands with Jesus. He had to be there, you know, and they're standing there. They're discussing, of all things, the decease of the Lord Jesus. You wouldn't think that would be very encouraging. You wouldn't think about very much about it. But if somebody talking about you dying, you don't want to talk about them. You don't want them to say, "Well, it's going to be all right. You're going to die. Heaven's all right. You're going to make it." And you say, "Look, shut up. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I'm not interested in it." But they talked about the decease of the Lord Jesus. And they were saying unto him a little something like this: "Master, I know a little bit about what you're going through." And they were saying, "But Jesus, you can do it. You're going to make it. Everything is going to be fine." Now, you got to remember, Jesus is in the flesh. He's not in the God part, but he's in the flesh. And he knows what he's going to face on Calvary. He knows he's got to go through Calvary before he ever gets home. And he knows what he has to go through, and he's disturbed about it. And he's troubled about it. He needs to hear somebody say a comforting word. Somebody tell him something that will encourage him and lift him up as he, even though the Son of God is in the flesh and he needs a comforting word. How many times do you need a comforting word from somebody, amen, that you're going through a very difficult time, you're not feeling well, or things are going wrong, you just want to hear somebody say a comforting word, and then somebody comes up and says, well, let me talk about the way you're going to die. Wouldn't that, that'd be real, real nice, you know, wouldn't it, amen? But that's exactly what they were saying. But here comes Moses, and he might say unto Jesus, Lord, I know a little bit about being rejected because I was leading a million people out of Egypt into the promised land. And they were rejecting me every way that I turned. I'm trying to take them into the promised land, but they rejected and they done things that was upset. In fact, at one time they wanted to kill me. Another time they wanted to go back into the into Egypt and to get the garlic and the onions. And he said, I know what it means to be discouraged. I know, Jesus, what it means to be downhearted and be rejected. And I know how that you feel in this area of your life. And I want to encourage you. It'll be all right. He might have said, you know, the children of Israel caused me not to be able to go into the promised land because they got me so angry that when God told me to speak to the rock, I smote the rock. And when I smote the rock and disobeyed God, God would not allow me to go into the promised land. But I had to go the way of the grave. So he might have said, Jesus, I know a little bit about the discouragement and about being rejected. And I know a little bit about people not wanting to hear what you have to say. And then maybe Elijah steps up and said, Jesus, let me tell you a few things that I maybe will help you. He said, you know, Ahab was trying to kill me all of my life. He was trying to destroy me because I was telling him the truth all the time. And he said, constantly he was trying to kill me. And so one day I went up on the mountain and drawn all the ungodly prophets and killed about 450 of them. And I called fire down out of heaven. And boy, I was really upbeat. God was really doing something for me and with me. And then after that, why, Jezebel said, I'm going to have his head before the night comes. And he said, I know what fear is, Jesus, because I fled for 40 days to get away from Jezebel because I feared she was going to kill me. And then I know what it means to be discouraged. But after I got there, I said, God, why don't you take me home? I'm no better than anybody else for fear of Jezebel. He said, I know, Jesus, a little bit about being rejected, and I know about a certain amount of fear. I understand a little bit. But Lord, I want to encourage you that it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Everything is going to be fine. But they said, Jesus, before you ever come home, you've got to go through the cross. The way of home is by the cross. There's no other way to get there except by the cross. And so they were talking to him, and then the voice of encouragement that was above every voice that he had ever heard. The Father spoke and said, Jesus, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. How many times in this life before you and I get home do we have to go the way of the cross? Or do we have to go the way of places that we don't like to go? There's a song that says, trials dark on every hand, and we don't understand the way that God would lead us to that promised land. We don't understand the way that we have to walk, or the trials that we have to go through, or the persecutions, or the tests. We don't understand them at all. We begin to ask God, we begin to pray, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand, Brother Lee, why that person is dying of cancer. I don't understand, Brother Paul, why your son is in the rest home and his mind has been taken away from him. I don't understand when I get a call to even this morning that somebody has died. Would you pray that God would give him comfort? I don't understand. Trials dark in every hand, but God, I just don't understand. Lord, I don't understand this virus. I don't understand why I've been confined in my home for 2 months and I can't get out. And I got a person that even called me this morning early and said, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm shaking all over my nerves. I don't know what to do. Would you just pray for me? I don't understand all these things, but many times we have to go by the way of the cross. We don't understand that, but listen, we'll get there. Did you hear me? We'll get there. We'll get home one of these days by the grace and the power of God. But we say, Lord, I need to hear an encouraging word. Have you ever been there? Have you? I've been there lately. Lord, would you just speak to me? Would you, Lord, would you give me something to give the people to encourage their hearts and to lift them up and to strengthen them? God, would you help me, Lord, to say something that will just encourage them and lift them up? God, I need something from you. I need to hear from heaven, Lord. I need you to speak to my heart. Have you been there? Are you there today? Are you saying, Lord, I need to hear from heaven? Father, I need to hear some encouraging words. I need to hear something from God to speak to me, to encourage me and lift me up. And then I hear that voice coming from the portals of glory like it came unto Jesus and said, this is my beloved son. And I hear Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. I'll receive you unto myself. Amen. Be encouraged in the Lord today. Amen. It's a voice from heaven today saying unto you and I that it's going to be all right. Father, we need some encouraging words from the portals of glory. And here's what he said. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, as though you sorrow as others, even when you have, they don't have no hope. But he said, but if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are dead in Christ shall rise again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. Listen, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen, and we which are alive. Listen, we which are alive. We're going to rise and be evermore. Here's what he said. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with him. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. The way home is through the cross. We're going to have difficult times. We're going to have hard times. It rains on the just and it rains on the unjust alike. But we have someone that speaks words of encouragement and words of joy and words of peace and unto our heart and our soul in such a marvelous way that it encourages our heart and lifts us up in him. Job had to go through his time on the way to the Lord. He had to go through that very difficult time of losing his wealth, his health, his children, lost everything that he had. But after it all, he rose up and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he ever liveth to make an intercession for me. Daniel in the lion's den had to go through the lion's den and rose up and say, the Lord has sent his angels to take care of me. Listen to this morning. Three Hebrew children had to go through the fire. But they said, listen, God's able, but if he don't, we're still not going to bow down. Listen to this. Stephen preached one great message in his life, as far as we know. One sermon. And they stoned him to death. And as he was dying, he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. On the way home. On the way home. There is things that happen to people, that God's people, that we don't understand. There is cancer, there is heart trouble, there's diabetes, there's blood pressure, there's broken hearts, there's sad hearts, all kinds of things that we as children of God go through, and we are able, by the grace of God, to stand all of these. We don't have a problem with them. We might be disturbed by them, and we might be discouraged by them in such a way. But in spite of all of that, we are able to endure them and know that we're on our way home, and it doesn't bother. But one thing we cannot stand as children of God, and that is to be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand anything. I mean, you are here today, and you, many of you, are not feeling well. I thought about Sister Betty. I was watching her up here as she was singing and suffering so badly in her back, she can't hardly stand up. Shoulder hurt so bad, I didn't know how she was holding that mic. But here she stood, singing the gospel songs of Jesus Christ, not letting those things bother. Jesus could endure the cross. He could endure the pain. He could endure the rejection. He could endure the suffering. And even his disciples denying him. But one thing he could not cope with: my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's the way we are today. We can endure these things by the grace of God. But as long as we know that Jesus is here. And he said in his word, he said, lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you in your illness. I'll be with you in your financial problems. I'll be with you in the loneliness that you have within your heart. I'll be with you in the virus. I'll be with you. Whatever it is, I'll be with you. I'll be there. I'll strengthen you. I'll watch over you, and I'll protect you. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? All of these things we don't have to worry about, because on our way home, we're going to encounter some of these things in our life. You will not go through life, and I'm not trying to discourage you, but you'll not go through life without encountering some bumps along the road before you get there. But listen to what God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, and the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then he said, I am strong. Amen. We are strong in the Lord. When I look at you, and I know that as a pastor, I know that many of you are going through very difficult times in your life, through many areas of your life, and discouragement, sickness, heartaches, financial problems, loneliness, and all these things I'm aware of, knowing a pastor, because I know about these things. It drives me to my knees and lets me call upon God to know that God will give you grace, and God will strengthen you. God will be with you. Now listen carefully. And I want to summarize this in just a little bit. There's a song said, He will never let go my hand. The Lord Jesus said, whatsoever we commit unto His hands, He will keep it unto that day. We don't have to worry about those things. I'm older than most of you, probably all of you, maybe except June. Where's she at? She's probably a little bit older than what I am. And there's things that trouble me, that bother me. My brother's gone, my sister's gone, my mother's gone, my dad's gone, my son's gone, my daughter's gone, and I think about all of my friends, my minister friends, and I think about all of them, and they're all gone. They've gone home to be with the Lord. And I think about all of those things, you know, that used to be, and I think, Lord, I wished we could live them over again and over again. And to some degree, it brings a sorrow to my heart. And then the Lord would speak unto me and say, forget those things that are behind and press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's time to press in. But there's an admonition. God wants us to know something this morning, and I'm going to be summarizing this. Just, I want you to hear carefully. Here's what God is telling the church today, telling me, and the Lord told me to tell you. Listen carefully. You know we're living in the last day, the last time. There's no question about that whatsoever. If I had time, I could show you what's coming, what's going on, what is very obvious to every child of God that reads the Bible whatsoever. That we're living in a time of when they're ready to put the chip in your hand or in your forehead or wherever it's at so they can trace you and find out where you're at, what you're doing, what fever you got. And they're ready to control you. Folks, it's nearer than what you could think or what you ever believe. And here's what Jesus is telling us to do. In 1 John, He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And He said, and the world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. Folks, listen, God gave this to me. It is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. Amen. We're almost home. Hallelujah. We're almost home. Jesus, I was so amazed that I listened to the songs that Frida sang and then the final song that she sang and that how it so went into the message, how that Jesus is coming for you and I. We don't have to worry about death's door. We don't have to worry about the grave. We don't have to worry about the things that we're going through because one of these days, listen, one of these days, maybe today, maybe tonight, maybe early in the morning, maybe tomorrow, the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to come. I was in my office the other night and I had told my wife I was going down to study and I guess she didn't hear me. And she looked all over the house. She couldn't find me and she come running downstairs. And she said, I didn't know, maybe the rapture took place. I couldn't find you anywhere. And I thought to myself, I wished I'd have known that. I'd have took my clothes off and put them on the chair and went in the other room. I'm afraid she'd have died of a heart attack. Put my ring on the desk, my glasses on the desk, and just set my clothes there in the chair, you know. That'd been real crude, but actually that's what's going to happen one of these days. We're on our way home, saints. We're just a traveling through. This world is not our home. It don't belong to us. We've got a home called heaven. For every child of God. For every person that loves Jesus with all of the heart. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has got prepared for you and I. Yes, we may suffer some things. We may go through some hard things. Sister Betty, you're going through some hard times. We may do that today, and it may be our lot to do that. But our reward is far greater than our suffering. We shall receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, we're on our way home. We're on our way home today. Amen. Jesus is coming for the church. One of these days, we're going to be gone, missing. Thank God for it today. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad today that you can hear the comforting voice of the Lord say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, just believe in me. Everything's going to be all right. I want to encourage you today to be encouraged in the Lord. And this thing is going to come to a close. It's going to be over in a while. And we're going to be able to shake hands. We're going to be able to hug necks. And we're going to be able to fellowship and have a good time with the Lord. But until that time, be patient. We're doing the best we can to have church and gather together in the house of the Lord. And I trust that God will keep you coming next week. We won't have church till next Sunday again. So we encourage you to come and to be with us. In the meantime, keep praying. Keep waiting on God. Keep serving the Lord. If you get sick, call us. We'll pray for you that God will touch and encourage you. Pray one for another.